Good morning, everyone. It is August 17th, 10 a.m. A quorum is present, and we're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. You can all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic of America, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, moving right along to item number three. This is discussion for possible action, consideration of possible approval of the agenda for August 17th, 2021. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? Vanessa, would you let me know if anybody jumps in on Zoom, just in case I miss it on my right hand turnover? As a reminder, if you're in Zoom, you can use star six to unmute yourself or the raise your hand feature. Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any comments or questions about today's agenda?
I do not.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you?
No, I don't. Happy to make a motion.
All right, please do.
This is Commissioner Mitchell. I move to approve today's agenda as presented.
I'll second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving right along to item number four, this is discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of the minutes for the July 6, 2021 meeting. Is there any public comment on the minutes from July 6th? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any comments regarding the minutes?
I do not, thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman, do you have any comments?
I do not, thank you.
All right, would you entertain a motion?
I'd be happy to. This is Commissioner Mitchell. I move to approve the minutes for the July 6th, 2020 meeting as presented.
I'll second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving right along to item number five is today's consent agenda, and this is for possible action. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? I don't see any public comment regarding today's consent agenda. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any comments regarding the consent agenda?
I do not, thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you?
I do not, thank you.
All right, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah, for the record, Commissioner Mitchell, I move to approve today's consent agenda as presented in our agenda.
I'll second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving right along to item number six. This is for discussion only. No action or public comment will be taken. These are committee and staff reports, and we're going to start off with the Sheriff's Office. Sheriff Antonoro.
Good morning, Commissioners. Just a couple of things quickly. School's back in session. We've got deputies out in the school zones and following the school buses. So just a reminder for everybody to watch out for the kids and their comings and goings. As it relates to the Virginia City Highlands and the complaints regarding the roads and off-road vehicles out there, we've had some dedicated enforcement out there this past weekend, and we'll have some going forward for the next few weekends, trying to get some of that a little bit more under control. And the last thing I have is I have to jump off at 10:30 for another meeting, but Chief Deputy Dozen will still be on should there be any questions or concerns involving the Sheriff's Office as the meeting move forwards.
Thank you, Sheriff. As a fellow Highlander, I can appreciate the extra enforcement out in the Highlands this weekend. And look forward to further enforcement. Do either one of my commissioners have any questions for the sheriff?
None, thank you.
No, thanks. Thanks, Sheriff, for taking on that that off-road enforcement. I know it's been an issue.
All right. Moving right along to the fire department. Chief Longcar.
Jeremy Longcar for the record. I do have some items later on the agenda, but this morning we did send an excavator back out to the Tamarack Fire to start doing rehab operations. So that's where we go through and actually build the landscape back up to as good a condition as we can where we laid our dozer blades. So they were sent out this morning, and we do have a red flag warning come this afternoon, so we do have extra staffing on for that event. Other than that, I'll take any questions. If not, I've got a couple agenda items later.
Thank you, Chief. I have no questions. Commissioner Gilman, anything for the Chief?
No, sir.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
No, thank you.
All right. See you in a little bit. Moving on to Public Works, Jason Worsbicky.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. This is Jason Worsbicky for the record. Just continuing on with the Mark Twain drainage project, we're pulling road shoulders and removing roadside brush as well throughout that whole area down there. If anybody's seen, we got quite the heap of sagebrush that we're getting ready to haul away. So that's about all we got going right now. You guys got any questions?
No, thank you, sir.
I don't have any questions. Jason, Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything?
No, sir. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, just wondering if it looks like you guys got out quick on the streets after that gully washer a couple days ago. And so I just wanted to thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome. There's still a few areas that we need to hit, but we got a majority of it.
Thanks again, Jason. All right, moving on to projects. Mike Northan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners. Just one quick item for you today. I just want to report the IT addition is still on track for final inspection August 19. Crew has moved forward at a pretty good pace in the last 2 weeks, and we're looking forward to getting IT into their forever home, getting this project wrapped up. And that's all I have today. Thank you, sirs.
Great. Thank you, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, anything for Mike?
Nothing, thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
No, good to go. Thank you.
All right. Dispatch, Becky Parsons. Man, my vision's bad. Is she on there? Okay. We'll move along to emergency management. Joe Curtis.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. This is Joe Curtis for the record. Not a lot, just a couple items here. Just for general information, we have a total of 132 total cases that we've had now since February of 2020. We picked up a number of new cases in the last couple of weeks. Over 18 months, that's an average of 7 per month. So we're doing quite well, fortunately, still. We're continuing to look good. This morning, early on, we were in the unhealthy range on our smoke area. As of right now, as of 10 o'clock, we actually have dropped down into the moderate range, which hasn't happened very often for us in the last couple of weeks, several weeks, actually. This morning, it was also a lot of ash being dropped in Virginia City. I'm sure probably a lot of people noticed that. But it's going to be clearing over the next few days, I think, and we'll see some better clearing of the skies around us for several days. And then it's unknown what will happen because there's another fire that has propped up south and west of Lake Tahoe down in the El Dorado County area. And that's just right directly in our weather wind line. So we may see stuff coming out of there as well. And other than that, that's all I have, unless you have some questions for me.
Thank you, Joe. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Joe?
I do, Joe. I had some concerning reports about the hospitals in our local area. I have no confirmation of that. But the word that I got is that 80% of the ICU, based upon the the staff that they have available in the hospitals are currently full, and that the majority of those are COVID patients. Only one in serious trouble. And that's a report I got from a hospital yesterday.
I have not received that particular report as of this time. Laura may possibly have some other updated information. I'm sure that they are busy. I'm not aware of any major problems that we have in the area. We do get a report on a regular basis of the capacity of the hospitals in the area, but I'm not aware of any significant major concern right now as of this time. I've just gone through the emails this morning and have not received any notifications or alerts along that line.
Yeah, it was a doctor friend of mine from St. Mary's, and so I have no corroboration on that. I thought you might know.
No, I'm sorry. We'll certainly check into it, though, and we can get back to you.
Thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Joe. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have anything for Joe?
You know, my only comment is, you know, it seems like we used to get better data, and we've talked about this, when they went from reporting, you know, they kind of consolidated the reporting, and it's a little frustrating because we used to be able to see zip codes where cases were reported and some more specifics. And as I look at trying to understand where spread is coming from, where cases are coming from, even though I'm pleased that overall our case numbers remain fairly low, it's a little frustrating not to have any sort of idea of where those are coming from, so we can maybe get the word out about certain activities that are especially high risk, or encourage people to be cautious in particular ways. So I don't know if there's any hope on the horizon of getting more accurate data as far as method of transmission and specifically where in the county those cases are located.
I'm going to send you a membership application for my frustration club, statistics frustration club. And yes, you're absolutely right. And it has been a problem for us, especially when I'm the guy that you're asking the questions of where does these occur. Laura and I have been in several discussions here within the last day or so, and she's doing some work with, and she may have some update on this as well, with the various agencies, Carson Health and Human Services and the State Health, because that has been our concern is with the situation of three of our four areas having zip codes that relate to other counties, and the disparity in having accuracy from places like that are testing and so forth, whether it be doctor's offices or CVS or Walmart or all of these other locations. I've really been skeptical of some of the quality of the information. And like you, if we were trying to work into it, trying to get them to try to give us some information, are these last multiple cases, are they all within the 89440 area, or are they within other areas? Are they dispersed? Is there it's difficult for us to try to analyze what we might should be doing with either businesses or events or what have you, when we really don't have any really solid information. And a lot of that has to do with the HIPAA law and revealing information about who is and where they are and that sort of thing. In a small community, all you need to give me a section of the community or something, and I'll probably tell you who it is. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's their concern or not, but I assure you that we are looking into that. And Laura, I know, has been pursuing trying to get some of that information back to us.
Okay, thank you. I just had one other quick question. For a long time, how the counties were treated was based on three different metrics, you know, the average number of tests, case rate, and test positivity. Is that still a factor? Are those three still a factor in determining if the state is going to put us under sanctions or whatever? Or have we moved past that into the spread tiers that the CDC seems to be working off of?
It would appear to us that we have kind of moved into a more nebulous area of statistics along that line and exactly how they're doing this, because we see stuff come from the governor's office and other people, and we think, well, how did they come up with that? What information or what science or whatever did they come to make that decision? And we're not getting that information back to us very effectively. And so, yes, that still is partially some of the way that is calculated. The CDC seems to have a big impact on the governor's office as of late and making decisions based on that. But that's been my complaint for forever, is that why are we comparing all of our small rural counties and assessing them based on the things, same statistical processes that you utilize for Las Vegas, Washoe County, and so forth?
Yeah. Well, and it particularly came to my mind because I was looking at the Quad Counties instructions on, and you can make an appointment to go get tested, but the instructions on the website at least say that's only if you're exhibiting symptoms. And so while they're still doing community testing, it's on a lesser scale, and that would tend to make the test positivity rates much higher if the only people that are scheduling tests are those who have symptoms. So it doesn't seem like an accurate measure. Anyway, thank you. I'm sorry to take you down a rabbit hole a little bit. Just trying to understand kind of where we stand and what metrics actually matter at this point.
Yeah, I'll give it to Laura, and she can probably maybe pursue that, pursue that, and maybe able to expand a little bit on what I've mentioned to you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Speaking of Laura, moving right along to community relations, Laura Mather.
Good morning. For the record, Laura Mather, Community Relations Coordinator. So yes, a couple of answers for the questions that you had. Commissioner Gilman, your question on the hospitals. So the Nevada Hospital Association, which you can go onto their website, it's nvha.net. They have a whole section of their website that tracks all of the hospitalizations. So they have it in every type of graph known to man, bar graph, line graph, all that, plus descriptions on the cases in the hospitals, which ones are COVID related. So it gives some really good information that really lays out what the situations are for the hospitals with relation to the COVID cases. So that's a really good resource to go to. Carson City Health and Human Services is now boosting, for lack of a better word, the testing pods. So they are starting to do more frequent and in more locations the COVID-19 community-based testing. You don't have to be symptomatic for that. You can just come on up or down or wherever for the COVID test. Tomorrow at the Mark Twain Community Center on Sam Clemens Avenue from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m., they are having a community-based testing pod. And then same location, same day tomorrow from 3:30 p.m. to 4:30 p.m., they are having a walk-in vaccine clinic. So you don't need an appointment. You can just walk on in for your vaccination. They will have all three of the types of vaccinations, the Moderna, Pfizer, and Janssen. they have requested us to bring down our COVID response trailer. We were sort of wishful thinking and renamed the trailer to our emergency response trailer, hoping then that would like put out the vibe that we're done with the COVID, but that didn't work. So we will be taking it down there to help them with both the testing and the vaccine clinic. We're not sure if we will start up again with working directly with Carson City Health and Human Services as we go through this, if it continues to increase. So that's a little bit of information there for you. Hopefully that might have answered a couple of questions, but I'm happy to answer any others if anybody has any.
Good for me. Thank you.
All right. I don't have any, Laura. And Commissioner Gilman, are you good?
I'm good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Does that end your report, Laura?
Yes. Thank you. End of report.
Okay. Does Honey Tapley have anything for us today?
I do. Good morning. Honey Tapley for the record, Community Relations. September is Hunger Action Month, and the Food Bank of Northern Nevada is having a food drive. And companies can register now for a barrel to be able to collect food at their businesses. To register for that barrel, you would go to fbnn.org/TRIC food drive. And that is the foodbankofnorthernnevada.org. And on September 29th, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., the companies and individuals that are in the county can drop off donations at 727 USA Parkway in front of the Shanghai Express down at TRI. If you can't attend the food drive during that time period, or you can't drop off your barrel, you can make arrangements with the Food Bank of Northern Nevada, and they will pick up your food barrel for you or make another arrangement where you can drop it off at a time that is available to you. But the main day, again, is September 29th from 11 to 1, where individuals in the community and the businesses can drop off any food. The most needed items, it would all be non-perishable. And the most needed is entrees and proteins like beans and rice and canned fruits and vegetables. So if you have any other questions, call the food bank directly. Their phone number is 775-331-3633. And that is all for my report.
Thank you, Honey. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Honey?
I'm good. Thank you, sir.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you?
No, thank you.
All right. Moving on to the VCTC, Denny Dotson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning, Commissioners, and everybody else out there. Just a quick update from the VCTC. We continue to see strong visitation here in Virginia City. It's been a banner year, to be honest. We've had a lot of good crowds, but we are traditionally, in years past, seeing a decline right now during the middle of the week now that school started. So we'll be heavily focused again on weekends, I think, going into the rest of the fall, which we have a good lineup of events. Some of those have moved to the fall that weren't able to happen in the spring, like the Grand Prix. But we continue to work with each one of them. Obviously, with the rise in the COVID and the awareness, we will continue to walk that fine line to make sure that we're doing everything that is that we're supposed to do to be safe, but still put on an event that is very vital to the economic welfare here in Virginia City. But right now things seem to be going pretty strong. We will finish up a little bit of marketing campaign. Everyone's a local on the third Thursdays of each month. We'll finish that up this weekend. I hope that folks listening out there can partake and visit some of the merchants that are staying open. There's a lot of activities going on. One of those is Piper's. Piper's continues to be strong and driving the arts and culture scene here in Virginia City, helping with those overnight stays and thus shopping in town. So it's been a great fit, and Whitney and her staff continue to do a great job with a large lineup of different variety of activities there. I wanted also to mention back on camel races that our fire department and their honor guard will be doing something special. So kind of put it on your radar for Saturday the 11th. It's 20-year anniversary of September 11th, and we'll be doing a special tribute there. We're also looking at some special guests to fly in, doing a flyby on that morning during the ceremony. So just again, that's September 11th at 10 a.m. There'll be two shows on that day, but just wanted folks to kind of earmark that. And then finally, on August 28th, that's just in about two week and a half, you'll see the Engine 18, which has been quiet, been dormant down there in Tom's shop for a couple of years or more, will be rolling into town with a load of passengers from Carson City. So very excited to see the V&T Railway get back up and running. It'll be a shortened season, probably a couple of months. Some special events are planned, and one of those is Polar Express. Right now, we'll be announcing hopefully some tickets for that to be sold shortly. But again, the 18 will be coming in on weekends for the next couple of months, which will be a nice thing to see. And we got a huge investment between Story County and the Commission and Carson City in that piece of equipment, and it'll be neat to see it on the tracks. That's all I have.
Thank you, Denny. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Denny?
Oh, thank you, Denny. Good news all around.
Indeed. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have anything for Denny?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again for that report, Denny.
Yep.
Well, moving on to water and sewer. Mr. Mike Nevin, do you have anything for us today? Okay. Anybody from the comptroller's office in with us this morning? Nope. How about the assessor's office? Janice Sutton? Nope. Planning department. I see Kathy here.
Yes, I have nothing today. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. How about the recorder's office? How about our IT department, James Dean?
Good morning, commissioners. James Dean, Story County IT director. The concrete base for the tower foundation at the sewer treatment plant was successfully poured, and that's setting up, and the next phase will be standing up that tower. So that project is moving along nice and smoothly. That's all I have today. Thank you.
All right. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything for James?
Nothing. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
No, thank you.
All right. Moving on to human resources. Toby Whitten, do you have anything?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, I have nothing to report today.
All right, thank you. Community development, Pete Renault.
Good morning, commissioners. This is Pete Renault for the record. First of all, I'd like to say thank you to the commissioners and Austin for having faith in me and appointing me the building official and acting director at this time. There's been a lot of interest in building in the Highlands, probably more than I've seen in 5 years put together. The industrial park, there's some big projects that have broke ground and they're moving along really quickly. I've been attending the pipeline project for the affluent line. Last I heard, they had approximately 5 miles of pipe in the ground. Other than that, we've got some other projects that are I've been meeting with, and shortly they'll be submitting drawings for permits. That's all I have for today. Any questions?
Thank you, Pete. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Pete?
Oh, thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have anything?
No. Thanks for that update, Pete. Well, thanks for holding down the fort. You do great.
Thank you.
All right. All right. Thank you, Pete. Moving along to community chest, Eric Schoen.
Yes. Good morning, commissioners. I just have two quick updates. One, the sheriff has already referenced the kids are back at school, so that means we are done with our summer programs, and we have our youth before and after school programs for elementary and middle school students now in full swing. So if there are any parents out there looking for a safe place to have their kids before and after school, please have them reach out to us. Then secondarily, I wanted to give you an update on the community needs assessment. We finished all of our forums and we've closed our survey, so we will be compiling the data now and looking at that, and hopefully putting together a report by the end of this month that I will be happy to share with the commissioners either next month in September, probably one of the two meetings in September. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Eric. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Eric?
None, thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have anything?
No, thank you.
All right. Moving on to the senior center, Stacy York.
Good morning. Nothing new to report today.
Okie doke. Let's see here. How about the Justice Court? Judge Harrington, are you with us today? Nope. How about the DA's office? Have any good news coming out of the DA's office today?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Keith Loomis, I don't have anything to report today.
All right.
Mr. Chairman,
that's always good.
Well, I'm here too. So as the sheriff brought up earlier, Ann Langer, district attorney, the road issues that are going on in the Highlands, I just wanted everybody to know that the DA's office is also involved in trying to resolve the problems out there, and that we've been in serious communication with other county officials to try to address these issues. So I would ask that people be patient, and we will keep you updated on progress in that area to try to get some of these issues resolved.
Thank you, DA Langer. I for one, am very happy to hear that. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for the DA or for the assistant DA?
None, thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, you?
No, thank you.
All right.
Everybody have a good day. I'm hopping off to another meeting also. So if anything does come up, Keith Loomis will be available. Thank you.
Thank you. County Manager, what do you have for us this morning?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne for the record. Just a couple of things. One is I just want to let the public know, and we have posted that the governor's press conference yesterday has not changed the mask status or really anything else in Story County. It pertained mainly to very large events and how people would attend those regarding masking and or vaccinations. If there's any details that anybody would like to know, we've posted those, and the governor's website also has detail. DA Langer talked about roads in the Highlands. I have gotten public inquiries over the time whether Long Valley Road is a public road or not, to make, you know, some communication happen there. We installed a couple of signs that say if it's a public road, it's not maintained by the county. And what that means, of course, is we don't grade the road, we don't plow the road, it's not a paved road, but it is a public road, a county road. While the DA's office will work on kind of the structure of what's involved in that, those signs will remain in place. I do want to let folks know that has inquired is that these we have other roads in the county that we're looking at as well in other communities. And there are roads that have been looked at in the past as well that have been addressed. We just address them one at a time based on urgency, importance, and limited resources. So that's all I have at this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Austin?
None, thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you?
No, sir.
All right. That brings us to our trustee clerk. Do you have anything for us today, Vanessa? All right. That wraps up our staff reports. Thank you to all the staff that was here giving us an update today. Much appreciated. Moving right along to item number 7, which is board comments. I'm going to start with Commissioner Gilman.
I have nothing today. Thank you, sir.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, I don't have anything either. Thank you.
All right. And I don't really have anything either. So that's going to bring us to item number 8, which is public comment. This is obviously comments for the public related to items not on the agenda. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes. For those that are on Zoom, you can use star 6 to unmute yourself, or you can use the raise your hand feature. I will give it just a moment here. For those in the audience, if you have public comment, you can come up to the podium, state your name for the record. Uh, I'm not missing any public comment on the chat, right? Okay. All right, not seeing any public comment in person or on Zoom. We are going to move on to item number 9. This is discussion for possible action. Discussion for possible action, approval of resolution 21-630, providing for the transfer of Story County's 2021 private activity bond value cap, volume cap, to the Nevada Rural Housing Authority and other properly related matters for the purpose of providing a means of financing the cost of single-family residential housing that will provide decent, safe, and sanitary dwellings at an affordable price for persons of low and moderate income. Austin? Or?
Thank you. We do have a representative from NRHA if you'd like to pass it over on behalf of that.
Perfect. You have the floor.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and Commissioners, and Austin as well. Appreciate you as County Manager. For the record, my name is Diane Arvizo. That's D-I-A-N-E-A-R-V-I-Z-O. I'm the Director of Homeownership Programs for the Nevada Rural Housing Authority. Today, I will provide an update on the Home at Last Homeownership Programs and the limitations, use, and source of private activity bonds and the volume cap transfer request that's on the agenda before you today. Story County has been with the Nevada Rural Housing Authority and our Home at Last program from the beginning, back in 2006, including last year's transfer to Nevada Rural Housing. And since the launch of our program 15 years ago, Story County has transferred $1.9 million in unused volume cap to the Nevada Rural Housing Authority. This has helped lead to 101 home buyers within the county being assisted with home ownership programs through our organization. That's $20.6 million in affordable mortgages and $340,000 in estimated tax savings through the Mortgage Credit Certificate Program and $607,115 in down payment assistance dollars to future home buyers or to new home buyers. Within the last year and a half, 11 new home buyers were assisted in Story County, and the Home at Last program provided $51,994 in down payment assistance. More than 55% of our Home at Last homeowners receive an interest rate below 3.5%. Many received their 30-year fixed mortgage at a rate of 2.25%. So today we're requesting Story County's distribution of unused volume cap for 2021, noting that amount is $236,198.72 in volume cap. Nevada Rural Housing Authority would use the volume cap to continue funding the Home at Last homeownership programs. To provide a general overview of private activity bond cap, or volume cap for short, when the federal government issues the volume cap annually to the state of Nevada, 50% of that is retained by the state, and the other 50% is distributed to the cities and counties based on population. And you have till September 1st in which to designate a purpose or a use for that volume cap that was distributed to Story County. Otherwise, it would revert back to the state of Nevada for their decision and how it will be utilized. Nevada Rural Housing Authority since 2006 has been pooling the unused cap in each county and city to help fund the very robust homeownership programs that's helped over 10,000 home buyers in rural Nevada with $2.1 billion in affordable mortgages. Often, as you know, the volume cap that's distributed locally to cities and counties is too small on its own in which to fund a project. However, when there is one, and I believe you had one a couple years ago, we would not be submitting a request for transfer because we don't come here to compete. We come here to pool anything that's not being used. So that would be our intent this year as well. I'm sure you know from past years, the transfer of any unused volume cap to Nevada Rural Housing Authority does not obligate this county in any way. It doesn't create any debt, and it's not a line item or money on the budget. The Home at Last program currently uses the volume cap to provide mortgage credit certificates, or we like to refer to those as the MCC. The tax savings that's generated to homeowners through the MCC program is significant. That is money that is returned to them every year when they file their federal taxes, and that money then gets spent in local communities. That helps the local economy as well. So with Home at Last assistance comes quite a bit of work to build awareness via advertising and outreach. And even during the pandemic, when in-person was not always an option, in fact, not an option, we found ways to best reach the communities we serve, and the number of home buyers that we served last year, which was a record, demonstrates that. Currently, we're running radio advertising throughout Northern Nevada and the rest of the state. We have a full team facilitating digital engagement on social media, Google, and the like. And we're driving potential new home buyers by the hundreds to our online education platform called Home at Last University. That's where home buyers can get their education training, which is required to participate in the program. And also where we train lenders to participate in the program and realtors to be knowledgeable in helping their borrowers get a Home at Last qualified home. With all that being said today, we are asking for your continued support this year by transferring your unused 2021 volume cap to Nevada Rural Housing Authority to help us continue to provide the vital affordable homeownership tools. Before I conclude my presentation today and my comments, I wanted to dive a little bit into some of the questions that have been expressed about housing development and support in Story County. We would appreciate the opportunity to connect with Story County to have a more development-focused discussion, including development activity at Painted Rock. We understand the county is due for a five-year master plan update, and you want to ensure affordable housing is addressed. We had a discussion a couple of years ago regarding Lockwood and some of the challenges you face there. We'd be happy to revisit those discussions and provide some insight into potential solutions. If NRHA can serve as a conduit of information about applicable programs and grants that may be solutions, or as an expert at the table that can provide the information the county might use to help put affordable housing plans together, we'd like to be there. I'd also leave you with a planted seed related to the American Rescue Plan Act, or ARPA funds, that are going to be feeding into our state and local communities very soon. How can we help guide the information-based decisions on how to utilize those dollars to produce positive impact in your affordable housing challenges? We'd like to know what your goals are and how we might be able to help achieve those. Nevada Rural Housing Authority's Executive Director, Mr. Bill Brewer, alongside all our program directors, including myself and our community development directors and so on, have our doors and ears wide open for you, and we appreciate your partnership in serving rural Nevadans. I'm here to answer any questions you may have. Thank you very much.
Thank you for that. Let's go to public comment. Is there any public comment regarding this item? As a reminder, you can use star 6 to unmute yourself or the raise your hand feature, or just come up to the podium if you're in the audience. Not seeing any public comment, we'll start off with Commissioner Gilman. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Diane?
I have nothing. Thank you, Diane.
All right.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have anything for Diane?
Just a quick comment and maybe a question. Thank you, Ms. Arvizo, for presenting this. We're grateful for the work that you do in helping with the homeownership affordability. And certainly, you know, the issue has risen to the forefront for us recently, and a desire to talk about supply and not just affordability, and potentially a development focus. So we're grateful that you're willing to have that conversation. I think it would be helpful in guiding us as we look towards those goals. And I understand this may not be your primary area of responsibility, but in the future, should we decide to pursue more of a development focus, is that as simple as redirecting this cap to and allocating it to a different use for those years?
Thank you, Commissioner, for your comments and your question. The private activity bond cap can be used for qualified purposes, so depending on the project, and that would take an investor to come in and utilize that tax-exempt financing to be able to put the project together, and we would fully support that in every occasion. So, for example, if you were wanting to put in a multifamily housing or mixed-use type of project, there would be potential involvement there and support through not only the front end in discussions, but also in the private activity bond cap. Absolutely.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I don't have any questions except just a comment. Obviously, thank you for doing what you do. To know that you're helping folks in Story County means a lot, and the And the numbers obviously reflect that we have quite a few folks that are availing of the services. So keep up the good work.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to add before I step away that we will be attending the NACO conference, and we hope to see you there, where we will be capturing some direct communication on how we can get more of our program information into your local channels, such as website, because I know people often will come to you to ask, how can I get a homeownership program? Maybe they haven't heard about us. So we're going to be talking to you about that in the near future, because we want to enhance that partnership as much as we can.
Great. We'll definitely see you at NACO. So.
All right. Very good. Thank you very much.
All right. Not seeing any public comment, Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 21-630, providing for the transfer of Story County's 2021 private activity bond volume cap to the Nevada Rural Housing Authority, or NRHA, and other property related matters for the purpose of providing a means of financing the cost of single family residential housing that will provide decent, safe, and sanitary dwellings at an affordable price for persons of low and moderate income.
I'll second.
There was a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you again, Diane, for coming up in person. All right, moving right along to item number 10. This is for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible approval of contract appointing Dr. Scott Shepherd to act as Story County's health officer per NRS 439.310 for a period of 2 years and at a contract price of $500 a month. Said contract would begin on September 1st, 2021. And last until August 31st, 2023. Laura Mather.
Thank you. Laura Mather, Community Relations Coordinator, for the record. The contract with our current county health officer expires on August 31st of this year. So we are requesting approval to appoint Dr. Scott Shepherd as our new county health officer. Dr. Shepherd graduated from the University of Nevada, Reno School of Medicine with his doctorate in medicine. He did his postgraduate residency at the University of Arizona College of Medicine, Department of Emergency. He has extensive certifications, including advanced cardiac life support, advanced trauma life support, pediatric advanced life support. He also teaches at the University of Nevada College of Medicine. He's currently an emergency physician at a level 2 trauma center in Reno. He is a flight surgeon for the United States Air Force Reserves, and he's also the medical director for the Story County Fire Protection District. This is the main reason that I reached out to Dr. Shepherd for this possibility. It just makes sense that the medical director for the Story County Fire Protection District would also be this county's health officer. Chief Longcar speaks very highly of Dr. Shepherd, and we feel he would be a great fit for our community. He has a very busy schedule. I don't believe Dr. Shepherd is on the call, but I can probably answer any questions.
Thank you, Laura. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Laura?
Yeah, Laura, would you expand a bit more on Dr. Shepherd's duties here in our county during the coming year?
Based on my experience with our health officer throughout my time here at the county, basically he will act as a resource for us. I can reach out to him if I have any questions, anything related to the pandemic or frankly any other health issues that the county might have, or questions on it. His relationship with us is a little different than most counties because we work so closely with Carson City Health and Human Services. So he does not have as broad of duties that another county might ask of their health officer because of that relationship that we have with Carson City Health and Human Services. So we plan on sort of working together as far as what his assistance will be with the county. The NRS is not real. It doesn't list out any duties specifically that he would need to provide. Just basically says the county needs a health officer.
Interesting. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm.
Before I move to Vice Chairman Mitchell, County Manager Osborne would like to add something.
Just one thing to address Commissioner Gilman's question. This officer, if I'm correct, Laura, does not necessarily have the authority or the power of a health district officer in a much larger jurisdiction like Washoe or Clark. This is a completely different type of situation. Those folks that are the health officers in those counties that are, for example, calling the rules on COVID regulations, for example, we are not really in that type of a situation. Quad County is the one that works with us on those matters. I hope that is helpful. And Laura, if there's anything you want to elaborate on that or correct me, feel free to do so.
No, that's absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. Yeah, Carson City Health and Human Services handles all of those things that, you know, on the news or on the media or anything like that, when the health officers are involved in other counties, that's something that Carson City Health and Human Services handles for us, not our county health officer.
So, Laura, do I understand that we are required by this NRS statute to have a county health officer for Story County?
Correct.
Is the fee in past, is this the $500 per month representative of what we paid in past times for the health officer?
It is. We have been paying them at that same rate for quite a few years now, and there's no change in that rate, no increase.
Thank you for the help there.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions for Laura?
No real questions. I mean, he has certainly has an impressive resume, and I think as a resource would be helpful for us to have. So I'm supportive.
Yep, and I don't have any questions either. $500 is pretty cheap. That's the cost of going to see one specialist. So, you know, $500 is reasonable, I guess. With that said, Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah, Commissioner Mitchell moved to approve the contract appointing Dr. Scott Shepherd to serve as Story County Health Officer per NRS 439.310 for a period of 2 years and at a salary of $500 per month, and authorize County Manager Osborne to sign.
I'll second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you.
Moving on to it. Thank you. Moving on to item number 11. This is discussion for possible action. Update, discussion, and provide direction to county staff and lobbyists regarding SCR 11, which is formerly known as BDR 1109 and 1148. Interim Legislative Committee to study Innovation Zone draft legislation and other properly related matters.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, Lance Gilman here. As I have done in past meetings, I'm going to recuse from voting or participating in the conversation regarding this issue, as I do hold a pecuniary interest, although it's a minor interest, with one of the parties that's associated with this bill. Thank you.
Noted, Commissioner Gilman. Thank you. County Manager Osborne, you have it.
Thank you, Chairman. Austin Osborne for the record. So I'll just give a little summary of where we are on this so far. On August 12th, the Legislative Interim Committee on SCR 11 met for its first time down in Carson City. Others attended. It was a Zoom-only meeting, in fact. So the purpose of this meeting, the agenda was set, was for Blockchains and its affiliates to give a presentation to the committee on elements of innovation zones that it felt appropriate. And it's our understanding so far, but not absolutely confirmed, that the first meeting was basically their presentation. The second meeting would be our presentation. And then the meetings after that are still to be determined. We're still working with the folks down in Carson City to work that detail out. It's really the purpose of the committee is to review a bill draft review for what may potentially become legislative action in 2023 or to come up with other recommendations. So on the 12th, the blockchains folks in the governor's office gave presentations. They included Aguero, Ernot, Lee Weiss, and DeJasti, and others. The unions were also there and talked about what they felt were the benefits to the region of the innovation zone draft legislation. At that meeting, they talked about economic forecasts, impacts on the region, and other matters. And then they introduced about an hour or so before the meeting, a bill draft for review and discussion. We found the substance of the meeting to be pretty consistent with what was presented during the regular legislative season. So Story County, this was not our stage for this meeting, so we listened and watched. And then during public comment, Story County, as well as some of our folks we work with, like TriGID and others, provided public comment. One of the public comments is a pretty consistent message we've had from day one, is that we support the technology of blockchains, cryptocurrencies, and things like that if managed appropriately by the state. Same position. As far as the planned unit development, Painted Rock, Smart City, you name it, out at that area. Our master plan supports it. We maintain a consistent position on that as well. We believe that the company is able to do all the technology, all the growth, all the economic development, all the sandbox exercises, all of the experimentation and research and development, and all of the smart city that they want to build within existing framework, within the Story County Master Plan, within the existing county codes. And therefore, we still maintain the separation of local government per the innovation zone concept is not necessarily and not appropriate. We provided, and I wrote for this committee, it's published, and it's also on our county website, a timeline. And that timeline basically summarized the key points between the year 2000 and 2021. The timeline started with the Tribe Development Agreement in 2000 that pretty much gives carte blanche authority to build whatever they want to build. All those things I just said a moment ago would be part of that package. In 2006, a planned unit development was approved in Painted Rock by the Story County Commission and by the Planning Commission. In 2016, our master plan was completely rewritten to very expressly in writing, in literature, in goals and objectives, and in pictured illustrations to support the Painted Rock development concept, even as being proposed now. In 2018, we updated our subdivision ordinance, and again, we amended the subdivision ordinance to make the water elements of an application for a planned unit development to be reasonable and easier to navigate. And then in 2021, we had provided countless testimony, written correspondence, and other discussions saying pretty much the same consistent message that I mentioned earlier. We met with the blockchains folks recently to talk about the recent publications we have put out and testimony we made in the legislature. And we had outlined otherwise what our position is on that. So our message has been from day one, submit an application to build the smart city concept out of Painted Rock. We're fine with that. And that is our position. Everything is posted on our county website. You can simply go to the main page and there's a big box that says Innovation Zones. Is the most recent publication is an outline and also a cover letter prepared, and that has been submitted to the legislative committee. I want to mention that, of course, I was not the only one present at this meeting. Commissioner Mitchell was there with me, our lobbyist, Mary Walker, and our lobbyist, Will Adler, as well as the TriGID and others were also present and made comments during this legislative committee. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Austin. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Once again, a reminder, star six to unmute yourself or raise your hand feature on Zoom. Give it just a moment here. Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, is there anything that you wanted to talk about or add on to? Excuse me, Commissioner Gilman, Vice Chairman Mitchell.
Not a lot, just that I've been very pleased with the work of our staff, both internal and our lobbyists on this. A very thoughtful approach, and I want to reinforce the consistency of our position that we are and continue to be supportive of the economic development aspects, of the innovative aspects, and we continue to maintain that we are ideally suited to be a governmental partner to facilitate a project like this. I was heartened by the comments of the legislators. Many of them on the committee asked specifically to hear about our thoughts and position on this proposal specifically. So that should be upcoming either this next meeting or the one after. But that's it. I think I have not changed in my belief and from what I'm hearing from the community, and that our position that we've taken consistently throughout is the right one for us as Story County.
Thank you, Vice Chair. I would agree. I was able to watch most of it on Zoom, and I was, I don't want to say I was pleasantly surprised, but I was pleased to hear that most everybody on that committee wanted to hear more from Story County. So we shall see what that brings at the next meeting. I don't really have any questions for Austin at this point. And I don't know that we need to make a motion unless you feel that we need to give any further direction at this point.
Mr. Chairman, I would ask just per the language that if this board feels it would like to reaffirm the positions that it has taken in the past, that we would proceed accordingly.
Okay, fair enough. Vice Chairman Mitchell, are you ready for a motion?
Sure. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to direct county staff, lobbyists, and professional services to consider appropriate research, analyses, and action on SCR 11, the Innovation Zone Interim Study, which will best protect and represent the county, to continue opposing separatist government concepts, and to promote economic and land development through existing legal framework and the 2016 Master Plan of Story County.
All right, there's a motion. I'll second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Austin. Moving right along to item number 12. This is, welcome back, Commissioner Gilman. This is a discussion and for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of amendments to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center Development Agreement related to authorizing legal cannabis uses within the boundaries of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. This includes rescission of prior approval of regulation and acceptance of new regulation. Kathy?
Chairman, yes, thank you.
Oh, excuse me.
Gilman here.
Commissioner Gilman,
I'm going to share that I'm going to recuse both on items 12 and 13, as I do hold a pecuniary interest in this subject matter. I am a member of the LLC at TRI, so I'll refrain from discussing or voting on these two items. Thank you.
Noted. Thank you. Back to Kathy.
Thank you. So Kathy Canfield for the record. So this is amendments to the development agreement between Story County and the Tri-Center, and it's to allow some legal cannabis uses within the boundary of the industrial center. This doesn't change any authorizations for uses outside of the industrial center. So the rest of the county, this wouldn't apply. This is just the industrial center. The request does actually two things. It rescinds the 2017 agreement that prohibited cannabis uses within the Tri-Center. And the second part is approves a new agreement, which allows for some cannabis uses to occur.
The new language itself creates a definition of what marijuana cannabis establishments are and marijuana cannabis paraphernalia. Those definitions match what was adopted for the current zoning code, with the exception of wording added that no on-site cannabis consumption would be allowed. So the new language also adds the new definitions, and it also adds that the marijuana establishments are an allowed use in the I-2 zoning for the Tri-Center. And that has a couple of criteria that's been added. One, that it's within an enclosed structure and that there's odor control devices. So if there's any growing operations, they would be indoor and have odor control devices. And that retail marijuana establishments do not exceed one retail establishment per 1 mile radius of that. So staff has worked with the community. The business impact statement was approved by the board at their August 3rd meeting. And we're just open for any questions or comments.
Thank you for that, Kathy. With that, is anything Bob had to say before we go to public comment?
I'll be taking care of it next time.
Okay, fair enough. Is there any public comment regarding item number 12? If you have any public comment, use star 6 to unmute yourself or the raise your hand feature. Or come up to the podium. Not seeing any public comments. Commissioner Gilman, Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions or comments?
So the one question that I have is I just wanted to clarify, because I know sometimes when we're talking about the industrial park, we mean different things. And I just wanted to clarify that when we're talking about the industrial center, are we talking about the entire original 104,000 acres or just the core area, as I understand it, that is governed by the development agreement as far as allowing these uses?
It would be any area that is subject to the development agreement.
Okay. And just for clarification, that development agreement does not cover the entire land area that was originally laid out as the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. It's a smaller portion.
Is that, I look to Austin maybe with the boundaries of the changes.
Sure. Mr. Chairman, Austin Osborne for the record. Mm-hmm. Kathy asked me. So yeah, that would be the areas that are inside the annexed areas of the park. So if you are inside the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, you're subject to the development agreement, you have a 500 APN, your specific parcel is within those boundaries. This would apply only in those areas. Anything in the park, such as AUECC, for example, the power plant, Mars Calcan, they're out at McCarran, but they're not technically inside Tri-Center. You would not be able to do this at those locations.
Okay, thank you. And does the development agreement continue down to areas such as South Valleys and those areas, kind of the outlying areas of the park, if you will?
I think I'll go ahead and answer that unless Kathy has a better answer, but it does. It does include some areas in Comstock Meadows up in there. It does not include the whole 104,000 acre property that you imagine that goes all the way to the mountaintops and to the Lyon County line, not quite that far up. But yeah, it does go into Comstock Meadows. It goes into Eagle Valley and along the Truckee River up to about Mustang, Wild Horse Canyon Drive, you know, that area.
Great. Thank you.
All right. I don't have any questions for Kathy and not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you entertain a motion?
I'd be happy to. Sorry, I'm just scrolling back up through all the documentation here. In accordance with the recommendation by staff, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to rescind the notice to Story County of acceptance of regulation dated October 17th, 2017, by which the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, TRIC, accepted the prohibition on all marijuana uses within the TRIC boundary and moved to approve and accept new amendments identified in Chapter 17.10, Definitions, and Chapter 17.37, I-2 Heavy Industrial of the Story County 1999 Zoning Ordinance, which allows for marijuana cannabis establishments within the boundary of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center.
All right, there is a motion. I will second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Kathy. Moving right along to item number 13. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible action on second reading of bill number 129, ordinance 21-318, cannabis establishment licensing ordinance. Cannabis uses will only be allowable at the TRI center and nowhere else in the county. Mr. Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Robert Morris for the record. Today is the second reading of the ordinance that establishes the cannabis establishment licensing fee. I think it's fairly straightforward and has the basic framework set out to apply the fee. It's going to be 3%. That's what's allowed by NRS. The specifics of the ordinance are sort of laid out in the text, and if there's any questions on them, what I did was put a copy of the first reading with changes made between that and today, and included it in the agenda so that people would have an opportunity to see any changes. The main change that was made was we initially tried to have a single license for multiple uses, and it turned out that was going to be too complicated. And so we redid it to make it that every establishment is required to have a license. The county manager, Mr. Osborne, pointed out the fact that within the ordinance, we sort of use business license as a generic term and then cannabis establishment license specifically for this legislation. And there are a few times where they're a little inconsistent. I would tell the board that it's probably not bad enough that it has to be changed, but if the board is interested in going ahead and passing this, you could make an amendment asking me to amend any terms, business license with cannabis establishment license where appropriate in the ordinance. And I think that would take care of any concern with that. I would ask Vanessa to hold off on getting it signed, and I could give her a new clean copy if that's something that the board would be interested in doing. So if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
All right. Well, let's go to the public first. Is there any public comment regarding item number 13? Again, I'll remind folks, star six or raise your hand feature. Not seeing any public comment. I'll go to you, Vice Chairman Mitchell, first before I ask my questions.
I do have just a couple of comments, but my first, and I guess we could revisit this when we get into a motion itself. I would just ask Mr. Morris to restate what that potential issue is and what amendment we might need to make to the motion as we go. So, So maybe we save that until we're actually ready to go with the motion. But I just, you know, my thoughts on this, I just wanted to share a couple of things. You know, as a good Mormon boy, I don't have much personal use for cannabis. And that being said, there are other business types that I'm also unlikely to patronize. But that doesn't necessarily mean that that we shouldn't properly regulate them and allow them within the confines of law. And I believe that the previous action of the board was the proper one to take a kind of a wait and see approach to gauge impacts of cannabis facilities. And I think that at this point we have data and track record from neighboring jurisdictions. And I think that allowing cannabis uses under proper regulation and taxed properly in this area of the county makes sense. So I'm supportive of this action.
Thank you, Vice Chairman. I guess my question is going to be similar to yours. I mean, how important, Mr. Morris, is it to change that verbiage? And is it going to delay anything?
I think if you would just approve it with the proviso that I'm allowed to make changes to those specific terms, replacing the term business license with cannabis establishment license where appropriate, you can go ahead and approve it today. I would give a corrected clean copy to Vanessa to get signed, and it would go through. If they're, you know, just to give you an example, if you look at page one of the ordinance, subsection C and 5.10010, it says a business license issued pursuant to this chapter does not establish. So in that context, a business license is a generic term that probably would not have to be changed. But if you go on to page five, subsection B at the top, I have a business license fee of 3%. And so in that case, it would probably be better to have a cannabis establishment license used instead of business license on that one. Just to give you an idea of the changes that I would be looking at, there are probably five or six that need to be changed. I didn't want to go through each one in front of the board, but if you would give me the general authority to change where appropriate, I'd gladly do that. And I think the matter could go through today.
Okay. Was this just a simple oversight, or did something come up that caused this to be?
I think it was in the original draft, the first draft that was looked at by the board in July. I think there were some changes. If you look, I've made some of the changes, but not all of them, after Mr. Osborne pointed out that there might be confusion. I just want to make it clear.
Okay. All right. And before we make the motion, is there any reading that needs to go on before Vice Chairman makes his motion?
Not at this time. Those are for first reading.
Okay.
Well, I think, Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind.
Go for it.
In this discussion, I'll look to Bob to make sure. I think one of the most important ones is under section 510.050, and that is the subsection B where it says a business fee of 3% of the gross revenues for cannabis-related items. The fact that it says cannabis-related items is assuring. But I think that one, I just want to make sure the record is very clear that is for a cannabis license, not just the regular business license.
Right.
And that 3% fee is divided up over quarters throughout the year. And then that is for the gross revenues and all of that. Okay. That's really for the record. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. So with that said, not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, did you want to ask Mr. Morris anything before entertaining a motion?
No, I think that clarifies it. I think I have some wording that I can use that'll accommodate that if you're okay with it.
Yeah, let's give it a shot.
All right. For the record, this is Commissioner Mitchell. I move to adopt the second reading of Bill number 129, Ordinance 21-318, the Cannabis Establishment Licensing Ordinance, and to authorize Mr. Morris to reconcile or replace the term business license with cannabis establishment license throughout as needed to make sure that it is clear.
That's nice. All right, there's the motion. I will second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Kathy, Bob Morris, and anybody else who is involved in helping this get moved along and passed. So much appreciated. All right, bringing this on to item number 14, this is discussion for possible action. I will welcome back Commissioner Gilman. Consideration of possible action to authorize the county manager to approve and sign a two-year agreement between Story County and the Porter Group, LLC, for federal government affairs consulting, federal funding initiatives, and federal lobbyist services. Austin?
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne for the record. In the past, we had departed from the Porter Group. They had worked with us in the past on federal legislation. We had several bills in Congress, including the zip code bill out of Tri-Center in that area, as well as the lands bill here on the Comstock. And we had resolved those matters. And there was really no need to continue our relationship with the Porter Group, although we did find their performance and their services stellar and consistent. And we really appreciated it. We even informed them we'd probably come back again if conditions change and ask for their support to engage in contract. Conditions have changed since 2021 has started. The federal legislation and federal climate and federal everything has changed drastically. Permits and applications and grants and other such matters have become increasingly bureaucratic or extremely bureaucratic. And there is more money being printed for various things, including grants and recovery programs and infrastructure and water and sewer and COVID and everything else you can think of. And we're finding that really we could use some assistance like we had in the past with the staff of the Porter Group, as well as the leadership of the Porter Group, on looking at, you know, getting better access to monies that exist. There was some earmark money that was very specific to Amadeus Group, Cortez Masters Group, and Rosen's Group. That we would have better access to being able to get those monies, knowing that they exist, getting first dibs at them. This will help us with better intel of what's going on in Washington with a lot of these things I just mentioned, and really getting assistance with grants, applications, and some of the bureaucratic processes that are very important to get through to get the money, as well as little things that we still have ongoing, like the Mark Twain Lands Bill that still needs to be approved to resolve some of the Mark Twain Estates property that's under clouded ownership with the BLM. Another thing we could work with, of course, is like the Sparks or Washoe County Lands Bill that is integral for the extension of USA Parkway to the north through Washoe County, and also collaborating with other counties such as Carson City and others that are part of the Porter Group. So I'm recommending at this point that we approve a two-year contract with the Porter Group. It is a very similar contract at a similar price to what we had before. I think this will significantly pay for itself in the access we'll get to funds and assistance and grants and other programs.
Thank you for that, Austin. Let's go to public comment first. Is there any public comment regarding item number 14? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any comments or questions for Austin on this?
I would have a comment, Mr. Chairman. I've had the pleasure of working closely with the Porter Group over the past years. And I would point out they were instrumental in Story County obtaining the Opportunity Zone status. That was a monumental effort in Washington. Originally, Story County was not identified as a county that would be included in the Opportunity Zones, and due to the work of a lot of people on the ground and back in Washington, we were successful in that. And I would tell you that the Porter Group was instrumental in Washington, D.C., in opening the proper doors for us. So I would just share with my other commissioners that I have watched this group do amazing things back there.
Thank you, Commissioner Gillen. Vice Chairman Mitchell, did you have anything?
Yeah, you know, I think that the move was a right one to part ways when we didn't have a lot of federal issues in front of us. I don't necessarily question that decision, but as County Manager Osborne has mentioned, you know, I observed a shift in the center of gravity. And as much as I believe in strict constructionism and that the federal government has gone far beyond its mandate and what it should be dealing with, the current administration has shown an appetite in monetary policy, particularly, to take an outsized role. And what that means is if we're not at the table, then we are going to miss out. And unfortunately, we're all subject to the monetary policy that comes out of Washington, D.C., and potentially, you know, losing out on opportunities if we don't have a seat at that table. And so I just want to point out, I have been impressed with the Porter Group. And while I was not involved in some of those previous official issues, even though we parted ways, they made it clear that I could reach out as a commissioner if there was something that I needed some guidance on. I was approached by a resident of the Highlands who was willing to put some time into trying to improve mail service, which is kind of an ongoing issue, being served out of a post office in South Reno. And they set up a call with people who are familiar with working with the post office and very in short order outlined a kind of a path that I could relay to this citizen as far as, you know, how they could work to get some satisfaction or hopefully make some changes that would improve that. And so that really impressed me because we no longer had a business relationship with them, but they didn't hesitate to share some of their institutional knowledge in helping at least get us headed in the right direction to hopefully get something done on that. So I'm supportive. I wish it wasn't the case that we had to we had to have our hand out and be really involved in what's going on with the federal government, but that's the world we live in right now. So,
yep, I must agree. Porter Group has been a solid member of the Story County team for quite a few years, long before I got here, and they've always made it clear that even when we did part ways for a little bit, that they were available. I see value in retaining them once again going forward. So, you know, I'm in full support. So with that said, Laura has her hand up.
Thank you. Can I just add something to that, please?
Well, you missed public comment. Sorry. Too late.
Story of my life.
Yeah, go for it.
Thank you. I just want to add from the grants perspective, I'm just thrilled at the possibility of working with this group. When we get notification of funding and the document, the bill is thousands of pages, and then we get a booklet that's hundreds of pages on all of the requirements and all of that stuff. And you know, you bring this up and just go cross-eyed at all of the legalese and again, the thousands and thousands of pages that are coming out. I'm really looking forward to working with them and having them help us navigate through all of these grants and fundings.
Thank you for that. So with that said, Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah, Commissioner Mitchell, move to authorize the county manager to approve and sign a two-year agreement between Story County and Porter Group LLC for federal government affairs consulting, federal funding initiatives, and federal lobbyist services.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. All right, bringing us on to item number 15. This is to recess to convene as a Story County Fire Protection District. Bringing us on to item number 16, which is to for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible action to approve the replacement of 11 mattresses for the fire stations in accordance of Article 44 of the 2019 to 2023 collective bargaining agreement with the Story County Firefighters Association, utilizing funds from a separate line item. Chief Longcar.
Yes, Jeremy Longcar for the record. Chairman, Commissioners, the reason why I'm bringing this to you today is I'm asking to do something a little bit out of the ordinary. Traditionally, and as defined in Article 44, is we're replacing mattresses on a three-year basis, or there's provision based on the lifespan of the mattress. Now, the mattresses in which we've been receiving were donated. They were rejects. There was no lifespan on them, and we've managed to stretch 6 years out of them without having to replace them. So that was a bonus to us, but now we've come upon the time where they do want them replaced. 3 years on average with them at a cost of about $3,000 over that 3 years to equip all four stations with 11 mattresses. So the local did talk to me, and they presented buying a little higher priced mattress to replace all the ones we've got out there right now, which means extra money, but it also means we get 15 years out of this. So we don't have to address this again in my tenure here anyway. And it also show a cost savings to the district. So where it is more than what was budgeted for, I do have money in the budget where we found we've been under on a lot of areas. So we can cover the expense. I'm just looking for your blessings to make this large purchase of these mattresses. And stretch this out over the 15-year cycle versus doing this every 3 years.
So what was the price difference?
I didn't get a chance
to. So we're right now I was estimating anywhere between $3,000 to $4,000 for the 11 mattresses. This right now is going to be in the upwards of, I believe, $14,000 for that, for all 11.
Okay.
So if we calculate that out over the 15 years with the six replacements we would have in that time, that equates to right around $18,000. Okay. So there is a cost savings to us as well.
Sure. Yeah, and you were going to replace 11 for $3,000?
Yes, and we've never been really good about buying the best quality mattresses out there. We kind of get the run-of-the-mill ones, hence why we get 3 years out of them.
I was going to say, those must be made out of hay or something.
Yeah, this is a good thing for our staff. It's something when they presented it, I was on board with. Uh-huh. It's just a matter of conveying it to, you know, the counselor, the commission here in a way that's appropriate, that I think it's a good thing for our staff and also buys us a lot of years too.
Yeah, I definitely am a supporter of a good mattress. Good mattress means less back problems, means less insurance issues, less time out.
Well, and sleep's important. Mm-hmm. We want our guys, when they have the downtime, we want them to get adequate sleep. That means they perform better. They're less fatigued. We get more work out of them. And they're just sharper in the mind.
Yeah, I guess you don't have the luxury of taking NyQuil like some of us do. So, all right. Is there any public comment regarding the mattress purchases? Commissioner, not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything to add or questions on this?
I have no questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, I'm supportive.
All right. That was easy. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you then entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the purchase of 11 mattresses to comply with the 2019 to 2023 collective bargaining agreement with the Story County Firefighters Associations, not to exceed $14,178.78.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. All right. Thank you for that. And so there should be no excuses. All smiles from the fire guys.
I hope so as well.
I hope so as well. See him. All right. Item number 17, discussion for possible action, consideration of possible action, notice to Story County to terminate and not renew interlocal agreement between Story County and the Story County Fire Protection District thus returning responsibility for administering and enforcing the provisions of the 2012 edition of the International Fire Code as amended and related fire inspection and prevention functions to the Story County Fire Prevention District. Chief Longcar.
Again, Jeremy Longcar for the record. And what I'm asking for is exactly kind of as laid out. It is time for us to renew our agreement as of October 3rd with the county in the duties of the fire prevention. Now, the reason why I'm asking that we do not renew this and we return it to the fire protection district is multi-levels of making this process better. I know people out there are thinking, well, if it's not broke, why are we trying to fix it? Well, it isn't that it's broke. It's that we can do it better. It's that instead of having one inspector out there, we now increase that staffing to 34 inspectors that are out there. And that means 34 firefighters that get to walk through the buildings, to get to meet the business owner, to get to understand the systems and the structures that are in place for them and for the protection of our public. It also means doing a better job with just inspections and plans review in general. And the county's put a pretty heavy burden on just certain people to look at all aspects of it. And within the 30-day timeframe is which that's what makes Story County great and appealable to builders. We want to make sure that within those 30 days, we're really doing the best job possible by splitting those duties, having masters in each of the area review that and produce the best product we can produce. These are some of the reasons why I'm bringing this before you today, asking that these duties be returned to the Fire Protection District, allow us to get more involved, develop better pre-plans, work better in our community, and produce a better product. This is not something I've just slapped together and put on this agenda. This has been talks between County Manager Osborne and myself, and while we've had some differences of opinions on it, and once we sat down and laid it all out, I think that we've come to a very good point and a very solid united front on it. So I'm here to take any questions you may have at this. It would not be a fast transition. It'll be as fast as my staff can keep up and as fast as we can put in place what we need to put in place, which we know that does take time, does take me bringing back in front of the board here how we're going to line that out. I want to be very transparent with my process and have your blessings on it before we put it in place. So I'm here to answer any questions any you may have on this subject, and hopefully we can just do a better job of what we're already doing.
Thank you, Chief. Let's go to public comment first. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. I'll go to Commissioner Gilman first. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything to add to this?
A question is, would this amend and or change the process we're using at the county to approve building permits and projects? Is it focused on that?
Commissioner Gilman, there wouldn't be much changes for the developer that's coming in. You would need to get a building and a fire permit, but the permitting would all be run through Steel Community Development, which we're working collaboratively. They would just, before they issue that building permit saying, okay, break ground, they got that checkbox from the fire department saying, we've had time to review it, we're good with it, proceed. So we can both be doing that job at the same time. Time wouldn't be a matter. And as far as they apply, you would just have two separate boxes instead of one where it's just we lump it all together into one. It would be broke out into two, one reflecting the building side of it, one reflecting the fire and life safety.
So who would be doing the actual plan inspection for fire?
So right now, that's kind of one of our hurdles we need to overcome with Martin Azevedo's retirement. He is a plans examiner. Fortunately, within the district right now, we still have Fritz Klingler, who was the fire marshal for Story County Fire Protection District. He is still certified plans examiner for the state. As well as I am a certified plans examiner. So until we can get a fire marshal position filled, in the interim, we would split those duties. to make sure that we're staying on top of it.
So what's your feeling? We've, as a county, have been incredibly successful in our plan reviews. We offer grading permits quickly, and we certainly offer building permits within a 30-day period, if at all possible. And are those elements going to be changed? Are we going to be more top-heavy, if you will, in the permitting process? Is it more complicated, or are we actually expediting?
So we will have additional steps, because there are some functions that will be split, but we will be expediting it. So versus one person looking at the total set of plans, where they're trying to ensure that the building is built to code, and then also looking at the fire and life safety aspect of it, we're going to have somebody looking at the fire and life safety, ensuring that it is right. We're building a building up the road that has a fire alarm system in it. We're doing it in a manner in which operationally we can get in and better fight the fires, gain access into the building. So ultimately, we're going to be producing a better product, and hopefully our plans, and there's no reason why they shouldn't, plans should get a faster turnaround than they're currently getting. Versus one person taking the whole load, we're going to split that, should cut that time in half, and get that builder building.
So at this point, would it be appropriate to have the county manager sign in a tiny bit, since he's been involved in the negotiations and discussions, and come from a tremendous planning background? This particular change concerns me, and so I'd like to know more about it before I vote at approval.
Yeah, he's been chomping at the bit, Lance.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne, County Manager. Thank you for your questions, Commissioner Gilman. And I think the fire chief will attest that I've had the same concerns, and we've had some spirited conversations in my office about this, especially at the beginning. Really, we're returning to a 2018 model where the fire district did plan review before and community development did the building plans. And the idea of merging these together at the time had some interesting merit. And the idea was that you have, you know, one inspector is going to go in and inspect the fire sprinklers and the pipes, and then turn right around and inspect the beams and the sheetrock. And then that person's out and on his or her way. And in theory, that seemed to work. And in reality, it isn't. I think, you know, a person that comes in, what we're finding from a fire background, that's a fire plans exam or a fire plans inspector that also does building, they will always have fire blood in them. They will always have that years of institutional knowledge and training and passion on the fire side. And they will catch every single fire sprinkler. They'll catch everything on fire side and maybe miss some building stuff. And that ends up requiring another inspection and going back and fixing things. And the same thing happens on the building side. Somebody that comes back from construction background, building background, you know, wears a blue shirt, they will be very passionate and catch all those things and then miss some of the fire sprinklers or the risers or the pressures, whatever they are, and will result in a second inspection. And this isn't like once in a while. It's a consistent issue. And we found that it's likely that other jurisdictions that have tried this model have had the same experience. I certainly look to the fire chief on that and have had that same situation. Another thing that happens is it appears, and I've talked with the fire chief about this, but you'll get one person in community development that's doing plan review for both. So go through 100 pages of plans, all doing fire, and then flip the book back to page one and then do all the building plans examining, where the new model or actually the old model would be is while the building inspector person is doing all the plan review for building, at the same exact time there's someone over at fire doing all the fire plans examiner and actually doing them at the same time rather than flipping that book back to page one. I do believe, after my conversations with the chief as well as the patterns we've seen in other jurisdictions with the traditional model, which is almost exclusively the model that's used, that we're in, and also in addition that we have the Fire Board of Commissioners is also the county commissioners that you're going to be supervising both of us. I'm going to be on the the hot plate to make sure building plans and our old way of doing things remains in place. The fire chief is going to have that same group of people, you know, keeping an eye and making sure that these things are happening and that we have an economic edge. When it comes time to the county's portion of this, I have a couple other elements I would like to discuss. I don't know they're quite appropriate because we're dealing with fire board of commissioners at the moment, but I hope that helps answer your questions. I'm confident that this is going to work and it's going to be appropriate. It worked before as well. And I do want to point that community development has almost completed their strategic plan with Linda Ritter Consulting Services. And one of the biggest things that is identified throughout the strategic plan is that fire doesn't belong in that building. It doesn't belong in plan review. It creates conflicts with all of the programs that they have in inspections and plan review and everything. And it's so much of a misfit that the consultant actually recommended that they don't even put this element into their strategic plan, that they treat it completely separately. And then that was even before the decision to move this.
I appreciate that in-depth conversation. This is an area that concerns me. And I guess the proof will be in the pudding. If we go ahead and implement and go back, as so many things in life, it's going to depend on the folks, the individuals that take the chair and how they approach the process. But we've had an incredible spirit in the county of cooperation, camaraderie. And it's because of that that we're sitting here in such a successful position. And so these kinds of changes are concerning. I will look forward to a review in the next year and see how the process actually works. So I would ask that we have a review period in 12 months or sooner to evaluate the success of this change.
And Commissioner, I do agree with that. And as you pointed out, the proof is in the pudding, and I plan on fully delivering a solid product that's going to serve our county better and our residents and visitors as well. And I know that through this, just my discussions with County Manager Osborne is, I think we've developed even better communication patterns through this process and have become a little more united and working better together. So, I'm excited for the possibility of this coming back and keeping up those relationships and achieving the overall goal and success of Story County, making us builder friendly and welcome to new business and ideas.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Gilman, for your thoughts and concerns. They are very valid. You know, Story County has definitely always been the leader. And as long as we can maintain a fast, you know, turnaround on plans without sacrificing quality. I think that's really all that Commissioner Gilman and myself, and I'm sure I speak for Vice Chairman Mitchell, really want. But I will let Commissioner Mitchell speak for himself if he's got any questions or concerns at this moment.
No real questions or concerns. I certainly, you know, the speed and accuracy and flexibility that we have, I mean, that's our brand. That's our competitive advantage. And so I feel very protective of that, as Commissioner Gilman has indicated, it's important. And I'd say, you know, it's innovative the way that we've been able to process the proper work that needs to be done to allow building and development to go forward. And, you know, I also think it was a good idea to try to streamline and consolidate these functions into one office, because on its face, it's, you know, number one, I think it's, you know, it's saved us some on the budget. And I think the aim or the goal of it was to see if we could be even more streamlined. But, you know, in the process, we discovered some shortcomings with that structure. And I think now is the right time, especially as we have some changeover in personnel with retirements and so on and so forth, is the right time, if it needs to be addressed, for us to go back to a system that worked very well up until 2018. And so, I want to echo the, you know, wanting to be protective of the speed at which we're able to do things. And correct me if I'm wrong, Chief, but I believe that there's also a disadvantage when your fire prevention is not part of a fire organization when going after particular funding sources, grants, what have you. Is that a correct statement?
Yes, on the funding side of it, there is. And what a lot of people don't realize, I always use this analogy, is that fire prevention is a world within the fire department. And within that world, there's public education, there's plans review, there's inspections, there's pre-fire planning that allows us to get in there and design or draw the blueprints and show where these important elements and aspects are for our response personnel. It's this whole world that since 2018 has been split in half, and half took off and kept going and the other half died, which affects us operationally. And with the funding side of it, yes, things such as the FEMA offers very specific fire prevention grants every year. We have not put in for them because we have not had that those duties since 2018. So I know I have personally not put in for any of the fire prevention funding at all. But there are grants and stuff out there that will assist as well with us having fire prevention.
Great, thank you. Anyway, those are my thoughts.
Thank you, Vice Chairman. I think I've covered my thoughts. I think this is a good move. Like Commissioner Gilman said, I mean, I was actually discussing with my wife last night, you know, looking back on the Dean Haymore days and what, you know, what really made us stand out. And part of that was having, you know, fire back, the fire inspections back in the fire department's hands. And so with that, it gave me a little bit of comfort that I think we're headed in the right direction. So with that said, I'm 100% comfortable. I do like Commissioner Gilman's idea of doing a check-in in a year. I expect nothing but great reviews in a year, but no pressure, you know, just keep on doing your thing. With that said, Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah, in accordance with the recommendation by staff, I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to notice Story County of the intent to terminate and not renew the interlocal agreement between Story County and the Story County Fire Protection District, thus returning responsibility for administering and enforcing the provisions of the 2012 edition of the International Fire Code as amended and related fire inspection and prevention functions to the Story County Fire Prevention District on or before October 4th, 2021.
I'll second that.
Chairman, do you want to add to that motion that there is a one-year review by this county fire commissioners of the success of this program?
Yeah, I think we should, Vice Chairman, would you add into your motion that we have we revisit this in 12 months to see its progress?
Is it preferable to do that on one side or the other, on the county side or on the fire side?
I would ask for both. When we get to county, we could do the same exact thing.
How about both?
Okay. Okay. So I will amend my motion to add a provision for a one-year review to ensure that this move is accomplishing its intended goals.
I'll second your motion.
So there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you for that, Chief Longcar. And Godspeed on your new mission.
All right, thank you.
All right. Bringing us on to item number 18, recess to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Bringing us on to item number 19, discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible action, notice to the Story County Fire Protection District to terminate and not renew interlocal agreement between Story County and the Story County Fire Protection District, thus returning responsibility for administering and enforcing the provisions of the 2012 edition of the International Fire Code as amended and related fire inspection and prevention functions to the Story County Fire Prevention District. County Manager Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. Austin Osborne, County Manager, for the record. There'll be some repetitive things I'll say because this is a separate board of commissioners looking at this item. And so just as a little history here, about 2018, the idea of having fire plans, examining and prevention migrated over to community development was done. There were merits to that plan that had some good things about it. And the idea was to make things theoretically more efficient and able to have, for example, one inspector come into a building and inspect all of the building and the fire items and then leave the building, and then that construction could continue not having to wait for another fire inspector to show up or vice versa. And in reality, there's some merit to that. It does work a bit, but we found a lot of times where a fire inspector will come in and really have that full, true understanding from a long life career in fire prevention, doing inspections, but sometimes missing the building stuff. And the vice versa would occur with a person that comes back from years of construction and building inspections would sometimes miss the fire stuff that he or she had learned in the book. There were a couple other items in here that we found to just have some inefficiencies with the program. I want to note in here that the Community Development Department, using Linda Ritter Consulting Services, has engaged in their strategic plan and has completed a draft of that. And the strategic plan has found that really fire prevention does not belong at all in that building or in that group. It really is more efficient over at the fire district. It makes more sense over at the fire district for a plethora of reasons. And to such an effect that Linda Ritter Consulting Services recommend that they don't even include the fire prevention function in the strategic plan, even if it were to stay in that office, that it would be almost an addendum or a separate document altogether. There are a lot of reasons that it just doesn't seem to fit in that office. I give an example of an efficiency where you have a plans examiner that is doing all of it himself. We'll have to go through 100 pages of plan review doing all the blue stuff, the building, and then we'll have to flip back to page one and then go do all of the red stuff, the fire review of all those plans, where in a separate jurisdiction, those things could occur concurrently with both of the people working on them together. As far as staffing goes, there was a comment made about 34 inspectors. I just want to create a clarification on that. I think what the fire chief was saying is that there's a synergy that exists between firefighters, operations folks, and the fire prevention folks that are under that roof. And it's kind of that lean over and talk to a captain and say, hey, we're going to build this building over here. I think it meets all the codes, everything, it checks all the boxes. And that line person can say, yeah, but why don't you move that fire hydrant over here? Because it's out of a smoke path if we have to do any operation. It's like, you're right. The other way was code compliant, but there's some of that communication that's lost right now. And we're seeing it in buildings out of Tri-Center where, you know, building fire and planning and myself meet every other Friday in my office in the morning. And we go over all these little things with all the companies out of Tri and elsewhere. And we run into little things like that. It's like, geez, I didn't realize that, you know, a connection was right there in a fire path or in a smoke path. And then we're going back to that contractor and they're having to move a piece of equipment or restructure something that's very expensive and arduous. Things like that are happening that I don't believe would happen if they were under their own respective roofs. I think it's very important to note here, lastly, as I think this really, I'm excited about it for this reason. One is I think we're going to be able to maintain that speed to vertical operation that we do now and that we did during the Dean Haymore days before 2018. That will not go away. In fact, I think it'll improve. But I think what also is, I'm glad someone brought up Dean Haymore, I think it was the chairman, is there's a vision to restructure that department now with this migration over back to fire, that we can take 60% or more of community development and repurpose it back into economic development like that existed during Dean Haymore days, but with more structure and a little bit of some professionalism and things networking with the region. Just a couple things that are envisioned for that, that I'm working with HR right now on job descriptions and things like that, is that new director could be spending 60% of his or her time in scouting properties in the county and marketing them, keeping a website updated with data, with information that people can come and look at properties, and being able to take a tire company that wants to come into Tri-Center and position them next to the rubber company, to give an example, you know, rather than, you know, them not talking to each other. Being able to serve and really interface closely with EDON, NNDA, other economic development agencies, folks in Washoe County that have actually reached out to us to help us with these sorts of things like data management and positioning companies next to each other. I think we could really help get that department organized in that fashion. And then you can have those experts in there that focus on building and focus on business licensing and be able to have some autonomy. So I'm very excited about that possibility for that office. And I think that will only enhance our history and our culture of economic development, speed of vertical, and being business friendly in this county.
Thank you, Austin. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything for Austin?
Well, the only thing, Austin, is I'd like to see that one-year review as we did in item 17, and just to revisit how it looks and how we feel about it at the commission level.
Oh, absolutely.
No problem. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I have been a proponent of bolstering up our economic development capabilities within the county, just with the shift in kind of structure and the maturing of development and kind of how things have gone. I think it's wise to look at restructuring in that regard and making sure that we're strong in making the connection between why companies should be here and helping them really see the vision of what it's like to work with Story County and the advantages of that. So I'm in favor and again, hopeful that the specialization in this case will actually make us more efficient and faster and segregating out the duties so that fire and plan check, code plan check can happen at the same time. So that we can maintain or maybe even shorten up our turnaround times. I think it's the right move.
All right, fair enough. I don't have any additional comments at this time. So Vice Chairman Mitchell, if you'd entertain a motion with that addition on there about the 12-month review.
Sure. In accordance with the recommendation by staff, I, Story County Commissioner Mitchell, move to notice the Story County Fire Protection District of the intent to terminate and not renew interlocal agreement between Story County and the Story County Fire Protection District, thus returning responsibility for administering and enforcing the provisions of the 2012 edition of the International Fire Code as amended and related fire inspection and prevention functions to the Story County Fire Protection District on or before October 4th, 2021. Further, I move to conduct a one-year review of this realignment to assure that it's meeting the desired goals.
I'll second that motion.
So there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. You're on mute, Commissioner Gilman.
I'm sorry, I wasn't. I did do an aye.
All right, thank you. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you, County Manager Osborne. Thank you again, Chief Vonker. Moving us right along to item number 20. This is a discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of business license second readings A and B. Is there any public comment regarding second readings of A and B? Not seeing any. Commissioner Gilman, Vice Chairman Mitchell, you want to entertain a motion for this?
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the second reading of business licenses listed as A and B under item 20 in our agenda.
I'll second.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Bringing us on to item number 21 is public comment on anything that has not been talked about on the agenda. You have a 3-minute time limit. Reminding folks that you can use star 6 to unmute yourself or the raise your hand feature. Not seeing any public comment takers. We're going to move on to item number 22, which is adjournment of all active and recessed boards on the agenda. It is 12:06, and we're going to call this meeting adjourned. See you all in September.
Thanks, everybody.